This is going to be a completely honest, bold, and an open forum to put across all my viewpoints that I haven't been able to anywhere else.
This is coming from someone who puts her viewpoints out quite happily everywhere. So...
No animals were harmed in the making of this podcast.
So welcome everybody, you're listening to The Two Vegans. This is a brand new show, this is our inaugural episode, so we are fairly excited. And you know, we're going to try and talk about our experiences being vegan in the world, but also in Dubai, and a little bit more. It's a combination of us wanting to try and dispel some of the conversations that are happening, some of the reactions we get when we tell people about this change in our lives, why we believe in what we do, and how we can spread a little bit of awareness and have a little fun. So, yeah. So I'm Chirag, and my co-host is Heetal. Hello, Heetal.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Our idea for this inaugural episode was to just be a little introduction, I guess, to us. So why don't we start by sharing a little bit about our story and perhaps a little bit about our journey. So when did you go vegan?
Right. So I started my vegan journey about 8 months ago. I've always been a vegetarian. I come from a very conservative Hindu family. You could say that I was always a vegetarian for religious reasons. And then I grew up and I started reading a bit more about animal consumption, and I continued staying a vegetarian. But a few years ago, I started reading a bit more on the dairy and eggs industry and factory farming. And I forced myself to watch some really gory videos to actually face the truth of the food that comes on my plate, the clothes that come in my wardrobe. Obviously, once I watched those and I learned more about it, made no sense to consume those whatsoever. So that's when I decided I'll go vegan. However, it took me a bit to make that switch, but now I'm here and now I'm a vegan.
Interesting. I've not shared this story quite often, but it actually isn't so much about me trying to be private about it as much as it's the story being very gruesome by itself. So earlier this year, I was actually very happy, you know, to read that the Indian government had come out with some rules around animal cruelty. Run-of-your-mill stuff, but, you know, stuff that was important to be sort of, you know, put down as letter of the law. You know, things like you can't brand animals with hot iron, you can't cut their ears for marking them. And you know, even if you're selling them in animal markets and things, you need to give them hydration and enough space to stay, and you can't, like, you know, basically you can't be, you know, things that would absolutely and 100% be called cruelty. And so you would think that this would be a happy moment. And it was when I, you know, I mean, outside of various controversies that came out because of it, because people just didn't bother to read the rules. What I like to say is, like, you know, we in India, and as you mentioned as well, right? Like, we in India have religious reasons and cultural reasons, but that's not true rest of the, in other parts of the world, right? I mean, you have entire festivals around, you know, built around eating meat. So it's very impressive to me every time I hear stories from the West and other places where people are actually not just turning vegetarian, but they're jumping straight to being vegan. You hear all these activist stories and you hear all these people petitioning their governments over and over again to try and make the rules more stringent and better so that animals aren't cruelly treated. And you see that those governments are taking forever to make changes and actually legalize some of this. And here we have, like, you know, the Indian government putting their foot down and saying, no, you know, we're going to make these things illegal. So anyway, the unfortunate part of this story was that it got tagged as the Indian government trying to clamp down on beef eating. And again, you know, another item that we can debate forever and ever, but that's how it was perceived, even though that's not true. And I did a whole podcast about that too. But the problem that what really shocked me, honestly, was that as a way of protest, this guy essentially dragged a calf, not even an adult cow, but a calf into the middle of the street on live TV, surrounded by some 15 or 20 people, and beheaded the calf by way of protest to state, you know, to the world and to the Indian government in particular, that they couldn't take away his right to eat beef. Honestly, that incident just absolutely shocked me. And it was playing all day, like it was the biggest news cycle of the next 24 hours. For me, the first question, you know, really was, how is that possibly a way of protesting anything, right? It's not that he stood there with the picket fence saying, don't take away my right to eat beef. To me, this is the equivalent of You know, it's equivalent of saying I'm going to protest against child trafficking by, like, you know, handcuffing and dragging a child, like, out in the middle of the road. Like, it's that stupid, right? Like, this is, at the end of the day, is a life that he decided to take away. You know, he wasn't doing this for a living. He was doing this as a way of protest. I mean, we watch TV and you have these little disclaimers that go through the TV saying, warning, you know, that these videos are gruesome, when you see, like, assault videos on the news and stuff. And people were playing this like it was just natural TV. Like, it's fine. There was no warning. It was fine. Like, whatever. Hey, he bearded it. He held the head up and walked around, paraded with it with like 15 people. And the fact that he could even think that, the fact that 15 people stood around him and said, yeah, we're going to protest with you, and nobody even felt even remotely that this was something like horrible, gruesome, immoral. I don't know like what other words I can throw out there. And like, it was just so shocking to me that's what we've become. It's so easy for us to, and not just him, but everybody around him and TV and everybody, just, we've reached that mental state where we just think like, hey, it's fine, but what's the big deal if I killed an animal? Like, it's not and that was just, and this is outside of the fact that actually the animal lost his life, and I think that really hurt in and of itself. And I genuinely couldn't look at milk for 3 days, and I'm not making this up. I'm not trying to be like cool or anything. I physically could not pick up that little jug of milk in my fridge, right? And so, and everybody that spoke to me in that week only heard this story, literally, whether they wanted to or not, because that's just how much it hit me. And here we are, you know, some 6 months later, I still haven't drank milk, because I still, every time I look at milk, I remember that story.
Yeah, I know exactly how you feel, because that's what I felt when I first watched one of these videos. And I remember at that time we had a dog in the house, and that was my first pet ever, and we were so in love with that dog. And it just struck me. I mean, the reason I got very attached with animals is because of that dog. And I started rescue work after I had that dog. I started learning a bit more about animal cruelty in its various forms around the world. And I just couldn't figure out what was the difference. Like, if I wouldn't eat a dog, why would I eat a cow or a chicken? I mean, they all feel the same. They all have the same emotions. They feel pain. They feel fear. And I just couldn't understand what was the difference. And I think that's where most people are lacking, where they do not have that connection. Those 15, 20 people who stood over there and stared, besides the millions who watched it on television, do not make that connection with an animal as an animal. But for them, it's just food. This is, I think, the core where people have put themselves away from that connection, and they have broken that little link that would them see how other beings also feel that pain and the fear that they would have if they were in that place.
Yeah, I mean, and I have no qualms in accepting that. I mean, prior to that, I know I was consuming, you know, dairy and things. I'm drinking milk, and I know that the conditions are not exactly humane, right? It was sort of one of those things where, like, okay, I'm just not going to watch how they milk cows, and I'm just going to keep drinking milk. But then this, you know, for me, this was, as I just described, like, it was a trigger event. You would think that it would get milder over time. Not that I intend to go back, but yeah, this is something that I still can't look at milk. I think a trigger event definitely is the reason why. I think for you it has been more gradual, right? Like, but I think for me it was really a trigger, and that's it. And I think that's why it's been, and I don't want to imply that it's easy, but that's why it's been maybe perhaps a little easier for me not to give in.
Congratulations, then.
I don't know. It's one of those things, I think, when just considering the trigger, that doesn't feel like something that we should celebrate, really. But yeah, it's been an enlightening experience the last 6 months or so. And I think this is what I wanted to talk about too, right? So like, how much does it, yeah, how has it affected you over the last, you know, 8 months? Let's talk in a simple level, like in terms of day to day. You know, what do you feel in terms of changes, in terms of habits?
I think when I now go grocery shopping or in the supermarket, I tend to read ingredients much more than I did before, which has now doubled my time in the supermarket.
Exactly.
But I absolutely love it, because this was something that commercialization has taken over so much that all we worry about is whether it tastes good or not. We have stopped caring about our health and reading ingredients in general to see if there's something that we shouldn't consume. I mean, most of the foods you find out there in the supermarket are processed foods. And I think with the reduction of dairy and meat, I have automatically reduced a lot of processed food in my diet. I'm usually buying fresh stuff and cooking at home. It's amazing how easy it is to be a vegan. I've learned that. I was so attached to my cheese and egg for a very long time, and I thought that there is no way I can live without it. I mean, I'll do something else, you know, I'll probably rescue more animals, but please don't ask me to give up my cheese and eggs. And one fine day, as gradual as it may seem, but I also went cold turkey one fine day and I just said, that's it, no cheese, no egg, because those were the only two things that I were left for me to quit. And the first month, to be very honest, was very, very difficult. There were cravings when I would walk down the cheese aisle in the supermarket or the eggs aisle in the supermarket, when I would go out for breakfast with friends and they would order all kinds of eggs and I had to eat avocado smash. So I did feel bad for myself. But like I said and like you said earlier, once that connection is made and once you know where this is actually coming from, it's easier to control your greed for food. And I find that we eat a lot because we are greedy, not because we are hungry. And I remember reading this one statement on the internet once, that if you're hungry and if you do not eat the apple that is kept next to you, then you're not hungry, you're just greedy. And that's how we make most of our food choices, because of greed and not because out of hunger, which is sad. So I've started being more aware about what I eat, how I eat, how much I eat. I tend not to overeat or overorder. I only eat as much as my body requires and as much as fills my belly. Also, health-wise, I think I've started taking care more of myself in terms of, I've found myself having this different kind of a spiritual awakening in the past 8 months. I think because since I turned vegan, I'm reading a bit more about it. I'm interacting with more people who are vegan or are spiritually awakened now, and it just keeps growing. So I've only seen positive benefits. There's nothing negative that has happened to me in terms of health, in terms of lifestyle. I think it's the best decision that I've ever made.
I wanted to mirror that as well. So to be honest, I mean, I think over the last couple of years, from a health perspective, I have been doing that, like, you know, reading ingredients, but I think it's gone up a notch. And it's what's been interesting for me as well is it's an odd realization that things where you just absolutely assume that they could not possibly be anything wrong in the ingredients, it turns out to be something as simple as you know, olive tapenade having anchovies, which is just something you would never even, I would never look at the ingredients of olive tapenade because it's olive tapenade, right? Like, and you discover that, oh hey, a lot of places do this and therefore I need to like be careful of it.
I didn't even know that. Thanks for telling me that. I love olive tapenade. And
I discovered this yesterday. Like, I read ingredients all the time now. Two things have happened. One is it's sometimes it does surprise me entirely that I'm like, whoa, they put eggs in this stuff? And then I don't walk by the processed food aisle as much anymore in stores because I just, in my head, it's already dismissed. I'm like, I know there's nothing in here for me to eat. But it's also been interesting to learn how many things you can eat and how many wonderful alternatives there are to things that you didn't imagine. It's equally fascinating. Like, I mean, I know you and me have had tons of discussions when we see something, whether someone puts out a product that's new and vegan friendly, or we come across something like, oh my god, this is available here or there. And I think that's been super interesting. Yeah.
And get excited like a 5-year-old child in a candy shop when we do find vegan options of our favorite stuff. I remember pesto.
Yes.
Sauce is something that you and I both are very, very fond of. And I never knew it had cheese in it. I mean, in a natural world, pesto sauce would be blended basil pesto with olive oil and that's it. If I want to add cheese, or if I want to add tomatoes, and if I want to add eggplant to my pasta, that's up to me. But my pesto sauce shouldn't have all these things. And I think when we discovered and you and I also share our passion for the same brand in pesto sauce as well, and we discovered that particular brand brought in dairy-free pesto. I think that was one exciting day where we discussed this for like an hour maybe.
Let's not reveal the fact that we can spend an hour talking about pesto. It took a little bit of tuning, especially when I would go out, because I think that's where the area is a bit tricky, but it's normal now. And yeah, we're probably a little bit fortunate, I guess. It's not so exclusive that, you know, people are not aware of it. Yes, from time to time, we run into places where people don't fully get it, and saying things like I'm allergic to dairy works really well. But in general, most places here, it's been okay. Obviously, there are some cuisines that are just anyway pretty dairy free regardless, and so that helps.
I think there is nothing that a vegan cannot eat that non-vegan can. There is an alternative for everything. You can cheese, eggs, meat, or any dish that a non-vegan may love and may dread to give up can be veganized. And we're in 2017 and there's a lot of information in our fingertips. It's not very difficult to Google recipes. It's not very difficult to Google alternatives. And I think this is the best time that one can make the switch because it is easy, really, really easy. And people won't even notice the change that they have made in their food habits because, like I said, you can just veganize everything these days. Having said that, it's not like we eat boring food. It's not like we live on salad. I love my junk food. And I think it's important to clarify this to the listeners as well, that We love our junk food. We love our cheat days. And when I say cheat days, I mean eating really oily, vegan butter, heavy food. And I'm somebody who can't stand salads. And I really, really cringe when I go to restaurants and I tell them that I am vegan or if I want something plant-based and they offer me a salad. And I just be like, yeah, but a salad for me is a salad for this guy next to me. I mean, why do you think a salad would be my meal? I hate salads. I mean, I just don't want people to think that vegan food can be boring. It can be very, very interesting and very delicious if they put in a little bit of effort.
What is the one thing that you would like to have known before you started that you didn't?
Usually when I start something new in my life, I research much in advance. And on veganism, I have been researching for a couple of years. So I kind of was mentally prepared and I knew what I was getting into. But honestly, what I wasn't expecting is that how everybody around me turned into a nutritionist once they find out. I mean, at this stage, I had the entire world, my family, my friends, colleagues, strangers, asking me how I get my protein and where do I get it from, and my calcium and my vitamin D. And I was like, oh my God, everybody around here is a nutritionist. That's amazing. So that was something nobody warned me about. That's one thing veganism even taught me, to be patient, because the kind of questions that have been thrown at me have been so ridiculously hilarious. I think you just need to be creative to answer those kind of questions, because there could not be any logical answer to those questions. Another thing that I learned was to dodge the whataboutery amongst non-vegans. I mean, when I would explain to them what I was doing and why I was doing whatever I was doing and how and about climate change and factory farming and global warming and making absolute sense out there. Thinking that, okay, yes, I made a good point. You know, maybe this person is going to now agree with me and maybe they're going to try and incorporate some changes in their life and they would come about. But what about our ancestors who ate meat? And what about lions who eat meat? And then, so this is something I wasn't prepared for. I never knew it would be difficult to have a conversation with people on veganism, because when I did my research, it all just made sense. When the statistics were thrown at me, when the videos were thrown at me, it all just made complete sense. And the only thing that was left was my greed to eat the non-vegan food. But I just don't see how these people don't see the sense. So that was something that I wasn't prepared for. But I think now I'm pretty qualified to deal with that.
That's good. Yeah, for me, I'll go the other way. Honestly, I wish someone had said it was easier. Yes, I know we live in a pretty advanced city and things like that. But like for me, the fact that literally every supermarket chain here has sections, their own product catering to vegans. I mean, the fact that there was so many different dairy options, not just saying, you know, almond milk and soy milk, but I mean, I've come across flaxseed milk that's available at a couple of places. There was even walnut and pistachio milk at some point that I saw, but I don't think I see it on the shelves anymore. But you know, I mean, just the fact that there were so many alternatives, I think for me it was just, I thought it would be harder. Yeah, it hasn't been as crazy. It was just been a bit of a surprise. People who meet me after a while sort of going, oh, when did this happen? Or how did this happen and stuff. But I'm actually surprised as well that the number of times I've actually related the story, as I said already, like in most cases, I just say that I'm trying to be vegan and therefore not going to eat X, Y, and Z. But occasionally been in a situation where I've had to explain a little bit because, you know, someone probed and wanted to know why. And you know, for them, it was like, oh, okay, well, then you know what? It makes perfect sense. Like, I see where you're coming from. So yeah, it's been interesting as a journey. The awareness aspect has just, or as you said, awakening aspect has been so different for me. I've been hunting for an office bag for like the longest time, and I've been searching for a year. And 6 months ago, when I went back to look at the list because I decided it was time to pick up one, I suddenly realized that I couldn't buy a single one of them because they were all leather. And that just sort of hit me in a different way that it hadn't before. That's what's been different, right? It's sort of this thing where I'm just looking at everything in a slightly different way. But I have to admit that it's been a lot easier than I anticipated. I thought it would be way harder. It was a lot of it was just mental. As you said, the day I decided that, no, I am actually going to go cold turkey. I'm just going to give it up. I've been fortunate too, honestly. I've been at cafes and I've been like, you know, I don't want eggs. And they've been extremely accommodating as well. They're like, oh, we understand. No problem. Can I replace it with some mushrooms for you or something? Which is my go-to fix for a lot of things.
Yeah, and I think comparing today to 5 years ago, there has been so much change around in the world. Veganism has really, really picked up. And how, as I was saying earlier, that, you know, the information is on our fingertips now, and there is a part of population that is actually using it to enlighten themselves, to educate themselves, and they're bringing about a change massively around the world. I mean, I read articles on how the dairy industry is suffering losses, how the egg industry is suffering losses, how they are coming up with articles to tell people that plant-based milk is unhealthy for them. They feel threatened now, you know. I'm part of a lot of vegan groups online as well, and we share a lot of things that we find. And I think the brainwash that was going on, it still is, but has also reduced massively. And because now there is a demand, there has to be a supply. I'm quite amazed at how quickly UAE has become vegan friendly. I wasn't expecting them to. I belong to the food industry, and we are usually 10 years behind the Western world when it comes to food and food shopping or anything else. But it's amazing how quickly they caught on to the concept of veganism over here. I mean, the other day I was at a restaurant, and this is my go-to thing, right? I just go to them and tell them I'm allergic to dairy, because that makes them take me more seriously as against veganism. Also, most people don't know what veganism is all about, so I don't take that risk. So, and I said, hey, look, I don't eat meat, but I'm also allergic to dairy, and I don't want eggs in my food. And she's like, oh, right, so you're a vegan. And I was like, oh, yay, you know what that means, yay. Yeah, can you please get me something vegan, or can you just veganize something for me? So obviously, there would have been someone before me who would have gone and spoken about it. So I think it's quite cool how quickly it's picking up over here and around the world.
It's been a little eye-opening, but at the same time, in a good way that, oh, wow, I didn't know that there were so many options. So my vegan tip for the day is tahini is your friend, man. It's amazing how many things I add tahini to.
Tahini is amazing. I actually was trying to make ice cream at home. It's super easy, by the way, and I hate cooking. I have no idea about how to bake. My oven is just there, unused, but making ice cream at home is pretty easy. So if somebody wants to know, they can message us. But I saw a recipe that had tahini in the ice cream to make it creamier, and it actually worked. I thought that I'll get the aftertaste of the sesame paste, but it really, really worked. So tahini is amazing.
So that's our vegan tip for this episode. Cool. All right. So we hope to keep coming back to you with more. We've got a few episodes lined up. You can follow us in a podcast player of your choice. Just look up The Two Vegans. We're also on Instagram, the.two.vegans. And we're on Twitter. All of the stuff is in the show notes. So, you know, go crazy. So until next time, from The Two Vegans, goodbye.
Bye.
I have an important question. You know, as a vegan, are you allowed to say something sounds cheesy anymore?
Yeah, of course. We have vegan cheese.